Jeremiah chapter 26 and the first 16 verses. God told Jeremiah, verse 2, to go to the temple, to stand in the courtyard of the Lord's house, and speak to all the people as they came to worship in the temple. And we know what Jeremiah had to tell them. Verse 2. Tell them everything I command you. Do not omit a word. And God, speaking as a man, as he does so often in the Bible, especially in Jeremiah, picturing himself as a man would speak. Perhaps, he says, they will listen. Perhaps this time they will listen. And each, individually, corporately as a people, individually they will turn from their evil ways. And if they do come back to me, says God, and if they will obey me, if they will get rid of their pagan ideas and follow my law, then I promise that I will relent and not bring upon them the disaster I was planning because of all their evil. Tell them, if they do not listen, if they do not listen to me and follow my law which I have set before them, if they won't follow my law, if they won't listen to my prophets that I have sent time and time again, though they have continued to refuse me again and again, I had held out my hands to a disobedient people all day long. If they will not relent and repent and reform, I will make this house, this city, this people an object of cursing among all the nations of the earth. If they will come back, I will stay my hand and they shall not be judged. Jeremiah did it. The priests, the prophets, and all the people, verse 7, heard Jeremiah. They listened to him as he was speaking these words in the house of the Lord. But as soon as he finished, they showed their response and their reaction. They crowded around him, even though he had told them everything the Lord had commanded him, everything the Lord had commanded him to say, he told the people. Then the response was, the priests, the prophets, and all the people seized him. He was overwhelmed by the mass of the people. And their reaction, verse 8 and verse 9, was that he should die. Because he had prophesied against them. He had said things that they didn't like. He was an unpopular preacher, and the way to stop his preaching and his prophecy was to kill him. And they crowded around him in the house of the Lord. Then the officials heard of it, and they assembled a court from the royal palace. They assembled in the new gate of the temple. Verse 10. And all the people cried out, prophets, priests, and all the people, this man should die because he has prophesied against this city. You've heard it with your own ears. How did Jeremiah react? Verse 12, he responded by repeating his discourse. The Lord sent me, he said, and I have to preach against this house, against this city, and I have to say the things that you've heard me say. And he calls upon them yet again. Reminds me of Paul in his defense. He preached too, in his courts. And here it is, Jeremiah. Reminds me of Jesus. You wonder who was trying who. Pilate was supposed to be trying Jesus, but Pilate was on trial. Agrippa, Festus, Felix, all these men were supposed to be trying Paul, but they were on trial. And so it is here. Jeremiah, in theory, is on trial, but really he's putting the Jews on trial. Reform your ways now, he says, your actions now. Obey the voice of the Lord your God. And God will be merciful to you. He says it again. He will not bring you the disaster. But you can do what you like with me. You can kill me if you want. If you want to do that, do that. But all you will do is add to your guilt. And what is more, you can silence me, but the word of the Lord stands. I have preached his word, and his word, of course, will not fall to the ground. The response of the officials and the people was this, that this man should not be sentenced to death. He has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. That's the first 16 verses of Jeremiah 26. What can we learn from this? Well, several things. We don't have prophets. We have preachers and teachers. What do we want from our preachers and teachers? Do we want men of Jeremiah's stamp? Men who will preach the words, not just simply the words of God, not omitting anything. Offering us mercy where there is mercy. Warning us of judgment where there is judgment. And commanding us to repent, believe, and obey the gospel. And submit to Christ. Do we want men of that stamp? Men who come from God with the words of God and without fear or favor proclaiming what God has said to them? Or do we want, as these people wanted, these Jews, what do they want? They wanted prophets who would tell them pleasant things. The complaint against Jeremiah was he speaks against us, the word against, you see. He confronts us. Now we want comfort. We want confirmation. We want to be told we are right. That's what they were doing. Are we warned of this in the New Testament? Of course we are. If you read 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy and other places, you will find it. The time will come, says Paul, when men don't want to be told the truth. What they want is, and they will make sure they get it, they will gather around them, they will heap up, what? A great number of teachers. To do what? To tell them what their itching ears want to hear. Tell us pleasant things. Comfort us. Encourage us. Confirm us in our ways. What you must not do is confront. And yet Paul tells Timothy, the word of God is given. The scriptures are given to reprove, rebuke, correct, to train, to discipline. But we don't want discipline. We don't want confrontation. We don't want to be challenged. We don't want to be faced with our sins. Confirm us in our ways. Now that's what Paul predicts in his letters to Timothy. And I know by experience that this is no longer a prediction. It's being fulfilled. Don't preach against us. I've been told it myself. Don't touch what we believe and practice here. You can preach so long as you agree not to say any remark which might cut across what we believe and what we practice. I've been told that by evangelicals. Three elders telling me those very words. So I know what's going on. The word confrontation or against is a word we don't want to hear. What the people wanted was not scripture, not the law. They wanted pleasant things. Do we want the gospel or pleasant things? The gospel is the most pleasant of all things, of course. But the word of God contains reproof, rebuke, correction, as well as all the joys and mercies of Christ. Daniel shows the right spirit. Chapter 9, you'll see it. He said, I consulted in the scriptures. I saw what Jeremiah did. And so it says, I turned myself to prayer and he confessed his sins and the sins of the people and so on. That was the right way to react. What was their way? Kill him. No, he's not worthy of death. Leave him. But where's the obedience? Where's the receiving of the offer of mercy? Where is the repentance, the reformation? The old covenant said to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. Isaiah 8. What does the New Covenant say? The men of Berea were more noble. Why? How? Because they looked at what Paul said, and then they said, well, we'll search the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. And that's all I appeal for. Let us take our New Testament, particularly our Bible, seriously. Let us root out from our lives all that is not in the covenant of grace, of the New Covenant. Let us root out all the things that are not in the New Covenant, and bring in all the things that the New Covenant demands. But no. We want the hedonism that we've introduced, the pleasure-seeking, into the churches. The church is no longer, in my opinion, if it carries on this way, it will no longer be a place where the gospel is administered. It'll be a pleasure-seeking place. We'll offer pleasant things to the people. Pleasant, easy. But the gospel is a convicting, converting, challenging, confronting message, as well as a consoling one. Unbeliever, I speak to you. I want to speak in love and as warmly as I can. I want to speak as kindly as I can, but as earnestly as I can, and passionately, and sincerely, I hope. I warn you, unless you repent and turn from your sins and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him and rest your soul upon him, you will perish. But if you come to Christ, I do not care what sins you have committed, where you have been, what you have said, what you have thought, what you have done, it does not matter. Christ will receive you freely. You cannot be too bad for him. You can be too good for him in the sense that you won't come. But I warn you, if you will not come, you will perish, and refusing this even now will add to your guilt. But I encourage you, I would plead with you, receive this offer of mercy in Christ. He stands willing, ready, and able to save you even at this moment. Come now to him. And I speak to the churches, I speak to believers. We should examine ourselves in the light of the New Covenant. We should rid ourselves of all that God refuses in his word and delight in and obey all that he commands us. If we will not, God will not stand idly by. We can silence the messenger. You can just pull the plug, my friend. You don't have to listen to this. But the word of God stands. I'm not saying I am a prophet preaching the words of God because I'm a prophet. All I'm doing is opening my Bible. Do the same. Where is a God, obey it. Where I'm not speaking according to the mind of God in his word, then forget it. But if we as believers will not receive the offers of mercy, if we will not repent and get rid of the Greek ideas that we've introduced into the church, the paganism, the hedonism, and into our lives too, the carnality, and reform ourselves according to God's word, if we will not make Christ our all in all, if we will not confront sinners with the gospel as we should, as well as offering them Christ, then we shall pay the price. Now we can see the Jewish reaction here. Some, many, the majority, hated Jeremiah because of what he said and wanted to silence him. Some said no, well, he shouldn't die. But where's the reaction of obedience? Unbeliever, obey the gospel now. Submit to Christ and believe him. Believer, obey the gospel now. Submit to Christ. Obey him by his Spirit. And may the blessing of the Lord our God be upon us. Whatever you think of the messenger, what will you do with the word of God? That is the question.